That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Can we just talk about the Proverbs 31 woman for a minute? Does anyone else have a love-hate relationship with her, or is it just me? I mean, does this woman sleep, eat, read a book, go on a dinner date with her husband? What goes on in your mind when you read Proverbs 31? Hold up, I just thought of something. Maybe you've never read this section of scripture. Go read it right now. Pause this episode and then come back. Don't worry, I'll wait here patiently. I'll just be reviewing my notes, maybe paying some bills, answering some emails. Go on, go read it. All right, you're back. Now, do you see what I mean? Before we talk about this chick, I have a disclaimer and a public service announcement. But first, the disclaimer. God has a beautiful and purposeful reason for including this description in his word. And ladies, we can trust that because his purpose is not to discourage us as women, as moms, as wives, as daughters, as friends. His word is meant to help us. Okay, now the public service announcement. Proverbs 31 is a great example of the necessity of knowing and using solid biblical hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. This is just a theology term, and it just means how we interpret the Bible, the science that we use to interpret the Bible. There's good hermeneutics and there's bad hermeneutics. Good hermeneutics starts with an understanding that there's a God-given meaning in Scripture. There's one meaning, a singular meaning, apart from you or me or anybody else. Scripture means something. It's not what we want it to mean or what we think it means, but there's a meaning that God intends, and it's our job as good interpreters to discern that meaning. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed because he's handling accurately the word of truth." If you don't handle it accurately, you're responsible. It's a big deal because it's God's word. It's his very breath on paper. So we have to be careful with it. We can't come to it with intentions to make a point or prove an idea that we might have. We also can't look to bend scripture around our own situations or allegorize verses in order to make an illustration work. If you want a really in-depth, biblically solid resource on this, check out Herman Who by Todd Friel on Fortis Plus. But for our purposes today, I wanted to give you a quick reference. So you want to be a good, faithful interpreter of scripture? Ask yourself these questions as you read the Bible. First, what does it say? Literally, what does it say? What is the plain and normal meaning? God's not trying to give us a secret code to decipher. We're not called to read between the lines. For example, when Genesis 1 says, "There was evening and there was morning, the first day, the second day, the third day," we take it literally. God says a day, he means a day, 24 hours, evening and morning. Then you can ask yourself, how is it said? What are you reading? Is it history? Is it poetry? Maybe wisdom literature? A letter? A parable? We can't read a book like, say, Proverbs, which is wisdom literature, and read it like a historical book, like Genesis. Proverbs makes use of poetry and metaphors, like wisdom being a woman, and we have to keep that in mind while we're reading. Next question to ask yourself, what is the context? Historically, what was going on at the time when this was originally written? Now, this doesn't require you to go to seminary, don't worry. Most Bibles, especially study Bibles, have this information at the beginning of each book. And if yours doesn't, that's okay. There's so many resources available to us these days, you can at least find out some basic knowledge in about 2 seconds flat on the internet. Also, biblical context. What's the surrounding scripture saying? Maybe read the 10 or 12 verses before or after the chapter that you're reading. What's the theme of the book? How does it fit into the greater theme of the whole Bible? You can also take into consideration Who was the original audience? Who was being addressed and why? Why was the book written to that audience? And right alongside that is, what was the human authorial intent? And that is just a really fancy way of saying, what did the human author intend to mean? So for example, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he was writing to correct them. So when we read 1 Corinthians, we have to keep that in mind. That was his intention, to correct them. Another question you can ask yourself, am I allowing scripture to interpret scripture? Abraham lying about Sarah being his wife does not mean that God prescribes lying as an answer to fearful or difficult situations. This is, we know from reading all over the Bible that lying is sinful, right? So we have to allow scripture to interpret scripture. And last thing, ask for discernment from the Holy Spirit. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is to illuminate the scriptures. John 14, 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit helps you understand biblical truth. Alrighty, so now that we're all on the same page with Herman, what does this have to do with Proverbs 31 and the woman that's described there? Well, remember I said context was important and genre is important, what you're reading? Well, Proverbs 31 starts out with some very important contextual information way back in verse 1, before we ever get to verse 10 through 31, which is why I said back up 10 to 12 verses and read before. This is the part that we're most familiar with, verses 10 through 31, but verse 1 says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So what do we learn as the context? The whole chapter of Proverbs 31 is two poems. They're poems of wisdom from a mother who is a believer to her son. That's the king. He's referred to here as King Lemuel. Most people, most scholars think it's Solomon, but since that's not recorded in scripture, I'm just going to call him the king. The first poem is seen in verses 1 through 9, and this king's mama is giving him some really sound advice about his character, what he should watch out for, what he should avoid, and how that's all important as he's king. And then there's the second poem, the excellent wife section. Remember, this is a poem, and using our handy-dandy hermeneutics, we know that poetry is just that. It's poetry. So the account in verses 10 through 31, it's not a point-by-point description of an actual person. It's not a description of a historical woman that actually existed. It's also not a list of commands or directives or a checklist for all Christian women to have under a magnet on their fridge to see if they measure up and can call themselves a godly woman or an excellent wife. John MacArthur puts it like this in his commentary when he comments on this section of scripture. This poem offers a beautiful description of the excellent wife as defined by a wife and mother, the king's mother. Spiritual and practical wisdom plus moral virtues mark the character of this woman, in contrast to the immoral woman of verse 3. While the scene here is of a wealthy home and the customs of the ancient Near East, the principles apply to every family. And here's another factoid for you so you can impress your friends at Bible study. In the original Hebrew that this is written, each one of the 22 verses starts with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. Because the Bible wasn't easily accessible in written form and people weren't carrying it around with them all the time, this was just a way to make it easier to remember. So keep this in mind as we look at the principles, remember, not checklist, of a godly woman. Things that we should all be looking for in our hearts and striving for in our lives and seeking God's help to change in areas that maybe we struggle in these things. In Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, there are five main areas of biblical womanhood that are addressed. And I hope it's going to be super helpful to you as you think about the implications, you know, those principles, and the applications. That's the how will I apply this to my life part of the Proverbs 31 woman. And maybe at the end of all this, we'll all like her a little bit more. The first thing on the list for the king's mom to tackle is the importance of biblical womanhood to be on display in her marriage. Proverbs 31, 10 says, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So principles, her husband treasures her. Her value to her husband is more than any precious jewels. It's more than anything that the world would say is worth putting in that safe in your bedroom closet. And as we keep trucking through these verses, we're going to see why he treasures her so much. Her husband also trusts her. He's not worried about if she's overspending or that she might not be caring for the home and the kids. He's not worried that she might be doing something behind his back. He doesn't think twice. He doesn't become suspicious because he knows that he can trust her. This is a woman who respects and protects her husband. She guards his reputation. She doesn't bash him in front of her friends, and she doesn't roll her eyes at him when he's not looking. And she certainly doesn't undermine his authority with their kids. So it's clear here that this woman, she is intent on glorifying God in her marriage. In her relationship with her husband, she wants God to be made known. And that's a great principle for all of us. For all of us to tuck in our proverbial back pocket, right? So whether you're married or about to be married or single, the basic principle of being a woman who people can trust is part of how we can glorify God in our biblical role as women. But that's not all the Proverbs 31 woman has to offer us. More after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. But man, it's good to have voices like hers bringing biblical sanity to a cultural moment that is completely upside down. She's talking about womanhood, but not in vague terms. She's opening the Bible and saying, hey, this is what God says. And maybe you're just now finding the better way, or maybe you've been here since day one of the better way. Either way, I think it's worth saying this podcast, in case you didn't know it, is part of an entire ecosystem that we're building here at Fortis Institute. Every podcast that we produce is different, but they all aim at the same target, which is taking the Word of God seriously and showing how it speaks into your real life. Integrated with Dr. John Kratz is one of them. You've got The Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, and then there's Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, and they all drop inside of the Fortis Plus app daily. And when I say daily, I mean that. 7 new pieces of content every single day. All you do is go to your app store where you download your apps and search Fortis Plus, or you can go to fortisplus.org as well, and you'll see exactly what I mean. And look, if this kind of content has helped to clarify things in your life, if it's steadied your walk, helped your thinking, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We're celebrating 25 years in ministry this year. We started as Wretched Radio, moved into Gospel Partners Media, and now we stand as Fortis Institute with more voices, providing more content, trying to reach more people all over the world. And that takes resources. And those resources come from gospel partners, just like you. If you are in a place where you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be so grateful if you would consider it. Know this, 83% of every dollar you're able to give goes directly into producing and distributing content just like this. That's right, 83%. There's not many ministries that can make that claim. Also, there's not many ministries out there that would say this to you. If you're not giving to your local church, don't give to us. We do not want you giving to our ministry if you're not first giving to your local church. We're not here to replace the local church. We're here to walk alongside. Actually, not even alongside the local church. We are underneath the local church. That's where your giving should go first. If you're not doing that right now, clean that up and clear that up before you give to this ministry or any other. But if you are in a place where you are giving to your local church and you can go above and beyond and you believe in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute, we would love if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We know you have questions and we have answers, which are available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Ah, the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent wife, the superwoman of the Bible. Do we love her? Do we despise her? Do we want to be her? What do we do with her? Well, we've already talked today about the fact that this description in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, it's meant to be what John MacArthur calls a mirror for us to hold up in front of us. It's not a checklist. It's not a list of qualifications that we have to meet, but think of it as an ideal, the ultimate godly woman. we started thinking through the principles, the implications, the universal truths that we can take away from what Scripture emphasizes about her. First, we saw clearly what biblical womanhood looks like expressed within this woman's marriage. She's trustworthy. She's treasured. She's rare. And hey, husbands, when you find a woman like this, hang on tight. Treat her right. She is of more value than all the jewels in the world. The second thing that the king's mom emphasizes is the necessity of good conduct, of how our biblical womanhood is shown through how we care for our home. This is referring to this lady's behavior. The actions of this woman are important. She's always thinking about the good of her household. If she was a chess player, she'd be thinking three moves ahead. She's prepared, and nobody in her household goes without. Proverbs 31:13 says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She's a hard worker, and she loves it. She finds joy in all that she does for her home and the people in it. She considers a field and buys it, verse 16 tells us. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She's got an entrepreneurial mind. She's creative with the giftings that God has given her. Now, don't take this as something she's done without her husband's knowledge. That's not it at all. She's saved up some money, no doubt with his support, and she invests it wisely, all with the goal of bettering the family. She's not looking to elevate herself, but she's looking to do everything she can to add to the well-being of the household. And we see that again just a few verses later in verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Her focus is always, always the good of the family. Remember I said at the beginning, does this woman ever sleep? We might read verses 18 and 19 and wonder, because these verses talk about her lamp not going out at night, that she's up all hours doing some wool thread making. So let me get this straight. While everybody else has gone to bed, she's up making wool into thread so that she can clothe her husband and children. Okay, the point is not to be constantly exhausted here. The point is that the excellent wife is willing to stay up late or get up early, whatever she's got to do in order to have her home in order. She's not sleeping in while her husband handles the kids. She's up and ready because, again, she's always thinking of the benefit of her family. And there are some other ways that her conduct is a reflection of her care for her household too. She prepares in advance for the future. She's not caught off guard. She's got a backup plan for whatever life throws at her family. In verses 21 and 22, it says she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So everybody's got clothes when it's cold. She also supports her husband in such a way that he's really respected in the community. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. But it's not only what she does that adds to her invaluableness. Is that a word? I may have just made that up. Y'all look it up and let me know. It's also who she is. So not just what she does, but who she is. A major takeaway principle here is that her character matters. It's been said that the heart of Christian character is conformity into the image of Christ. That's Romans 8:29. So how does this woman, this pattern we see for life of godliness in biblical womanhood, conform to Christ in her character? Well, verse 25 tells us right off the bat, strength and dignity are her clothing. Now, we're not talking about a lady who can bench press 200 pounds strong here, my friends. This is spiritual strength, a commitment to God, a resolve to never compromise, never waver, to stay the course that God has set before her, to resist temptation. She's practicing self-control and acting like a lady, for lack of a better statement. In fact, that's a great statement. She acts like a lady because she is. Not only that, she clothes herself in dignity. She has class. She's respected. She's honorable. And at the end of verse 25, it says she smiles at the future. I love this. She's living her life in a pursuit of holiness in a consistent, unchaotic manner. She's caring well for her family, loving her husband as God calls her to love him, so she can smile when she thinks about the future. She's not wringing her hands in worry that her kids are going to reject her, or up all night, nervous that her husband is being unfaithful. Because even if any of those things happen, she's confident in her God. She has no fear when she thinks about the days ahead. Okay, so what else do we read about her character? Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So she's kind with her words. So much so that others learn kindness from listening to her. And she's wise with her words too. We've talked before on the show about the impact of our words as women and that we're responsible for what comes out of our mouths. Not only that, but our words are an indication of what's going on in our hearts. So the Proverbs 31 woman, her words reveal her heart for God. And lastly, this woman is not lazy, if we hadn't already figured that out. Verse 27 makes it crystal clear. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's responsible and intentional. She's definitely not lazy. Okay, so a couple additional principles before we run out of time today. Who she is as a mom is super important to this whole picture. Remember, this is a mom giving wisdom to her son, the king, of what he should look for in a wife. And she says in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I think it's so interesting how we know that she's a good mom. It's in the way that her kids and her husband respond to her, how they talk about her to others. This just shows us how positively she's impacted their lives. As her children grow up, as they become adults, they bless her. They hold her in high esteem. They respect her. And her husband praises her. He pretty much says, my dear, you are the best. And he means it. So are you impacting the next generation of your family? Do your kids want to raise their kids the way you've raised them? And then there's the overriding principle, the foundational truth that all the rest is built on. And maybe I should have started here and worked backwards. Hindsight's 2020, but here's where we are and here's where scripture is leading us. So we're going to follow where it takes us. Check out these last two verses. 30 and 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the crux of all biblical womanhood right here, y'all. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And this is what's motivating it all, fear of the Lord. This woman understands who God is, that she's serving him in all that she does, in every household chore, in every interaction with her kids, in every moment of support of her husband. The fear of the Lord is her ultimate pursuit. She wants to glorify God in all that she does. She recognizes that all the things the world has to offer, you know, charm and beauty, they're never going to satisfy. They're never going to provide assurance or security. Only a life committed and submitted to serving God in everything she does will grant her the reward that comes from a godly life pursuit. What a woman, right? What a standard. What an ideal. What a mirror to examine ourselves in. Okay, before you start sending me emails telling me that I've just discouraged you beyond repair, give me two more minutes. First of all, conviction, even though it's tough sometimes, is not bad. So if you're feeling the weight of this section of scripture, if God has opened your eyes to some areas where he's calling you to change, this is a good thing. Conviction moves us to change. Remember, there's no condemnation in Christ. You're not a lost cause, not a huge failure. You are a woman being transformed by the word of God. And that's what the word of God is supposed to do. So take this opportunity to thank God for showing you in his word where he wants to help you change, to conform to the image of Christ. And then second thing, this is not a call to try harder. I mean, seriously, if I see any one of y'all up in the middle of the night spinning wool into thread thinking that's going to gain you favor with God, I'm knocking on your door immediately. So quit falling on the sword because this is not up to you to gut out by your own efforts. Change, true biblical heart change, is a work of God. And he does it through his word as we read and study and memorize and meditate on the Bible. So if not try harder, what then? How should we respond? In obedience. That's it. Simple obedience because of our love for God, because we're compelled by the love of Christ, by a biblical fear of God, just like the Proverbs 31 woman. And like her, We know that this is the best way to bring him glory in our lives because it's his way. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm going to say it one more time. This is not a checklist, not a pass-fail. It's not an all or nothing. This is an invaluable source of biblical principles that are going to help us to be godly women as we're sanctified day by day, growing in Christ-likeness, dying to self, and living for Him. And now that you know the better way to think about the Proverbs 31 woman, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.